Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode of Lending Forward. We have a hot topic around cybersecurity today, and I'm joined with one of my friends, Lindsay Barbera. Lindsay is our VP of third-party risk and strategy at Atlantic Bay. She's a rock star mom of three boys, and she's one of the smartest people I know. So I couldn't think of anybody better to come on the podcast to kind of give us some information around cybersecurity and how we can keep ourselves and our buyers safe. So, hey, Lindsay.
Hey, how are you? That was an extremely flattering intro. So thank you. happy to be here and talk about the ever so not, can we say sexy topic of cybersecurity? It's, you know, it's not that great. I mean, but it's one of those things that it exists. And I'm happy to be here. I joined Atlantic Bay in April. But I've had the pleasure of being friends and colleagues with Hannah a couple of times in our lifetime. And so I'm glad that we're back together again. And there's, you know, less stringent travel rules than there were back then. So we'll probably get to see each other more, you know, aside from all these kids. But yeah, happy to be here. And, you know, third party risk and cybersecurity is top of mind for me every day. But I don't think people realize, you know, what all goes into cybersecurity and the additional layers that, you know, that exist.
I feel like cybersecurity has turned into such a hot topic. I mean, we've all seen the headlines and we saw what happened to Loan Depot, and we've seen, you know, what's happened to other companies out there. And it just seems like every day there's a new cyber attack on like a big named company. So, I mean, from your side, is that a trend? I mean, are we seeing cyber attacks just happening all day, every day?
I mean, yes and no. I will say that, you know, hackers continue to get smarter, but, you know, companies, if they're layered with the correct management and stakeholders, they're getting stronger in their defense, which I will say that, you know, Atlantic Bay is one that has a very strong cybersecurity layer. Companies now just have to make sure that they're protecting themselves, but it goes really a step deeper than that. You think about all the vendors we use. I know you have relationships with several, but the list just keeps growing and growing and growing. Well, the more vendors you have, the more data you're sharing. So when there's a breach to a critical vendor, that can really have a detrimental downstream effect to a company. And I don't think people think about that. So in addition to having cybersecurity layers in place, it's really critical to have a strong third-party risk team, because those are the folks that are going to vet these vendors, not only at the onset of the relationship, but throughout the duration of the vendor relationship, to make sure that they're not only maintaining adequate protections for our consumer data, but they have proper cyber coverage, and that they also know what the rules are as it pertains to breach protocols. Like, for example, I want to say in Georgia, you have to notify the OIG within 48 hours. That's not a lot of time. So making sure that you know things like that are imperative, and that your vendors know things like that. So, you know, the more data that you're sharing and the more third-party relationships you have, it makes it really a lot harder to secure third-party data, private data. And so that's a really important piece, but also your third-party risk team needs to understand which vendors have access to confidential consumer information, because those are the vendors that require a higher level of due diligence. And that they will have to have higher cyber coverage, but it's also ones that we want to keep a closer eye on to make sure that they're doing their part to protect our consumer data. And we saw, I'll use CrowdStrike as as an example, because that was one that really had a downstream effect. Like, a lot of people had never heard of CrowdStrike before. But once they realized how many companies used CrowdStrike, they saw how a breach of that magnitude really caused a downstream ripple effect. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for us, it was very minimal in a vendor that used them. But there were several in our industry that were down for a while.
Yeah.
Which makes it, you know, it can make it costly. If we were on the other side of that, a vendor breach like that can be super costly. And I think that it doesn't get talked about enough in our industry. But, you know, if we've got a substantial vendor that we use and there's a breach for them, not only is it costly to them to repair, but it's costly for us. Because you think about counsel that you might have to hire, public relations that you have to do, reputational risk that you're trying to mitigate and fix. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that is often goes overlooked, but it can be extremely costly downstream if a third party vendor is breached.
I think it's so wild because, you know, you and I have both been on the sales side. And when you see a new technology or you see a new tool or a new vendor, just, you know, that shiny new object that you want so badly, and you know that it can help your business or you know that it can do something really cool, it's frustrating, right? Because you know it's going to take weeks or months or however long, you know, your company's due diligence process works. But listening to you talk today, is it makes sense on why it takes so long. Because of course the lender's responsible because it's your consumer's data that's being shared, but you have to really make sure that every vendor you're talking to, and I mean, this goes, I'm assuming every vendor has to have some sort of cybersecurity plan in place.
Correct. And so while, you know, you're going to want, it improves efficiency to have vendors talk to each other, you know, mm-hmm. think LOS, a POS, a CRM, all of those talk to each other and they improve efficiency throughout the loan manufacturing process. It also makes it harder to protect the data because it's going so many different places. But at the end of the day, we're still responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, cybersecurity, I think, is a really broad name or topic. So do you mind walking us through, like, what are the top four cybersecurity threats in the mortgage and real estate space right now?
I mean, I would say one of the biggest ones is what they call social engineering. And that's a fancy way of saying that they're using basically psychological manipulation to gain access to your system. So a hacker is going to target a user. Just like we see that rates might drop, hackers are keeping that in mind as well. So what they're going to do is they're going to start studying users and start seeing maybe common emails you might get. And so in the heat of the moment, they might slide in an email that looks totally normal, but it's got a link that opens up access to your phone, to your systems, whatever it might be. So that's probably the biggest one. And that's what most people call phishing. Mm-hmm. It's a very common example. And you think, especially if rates continue to drop, we're going to get busier. The busier we get, oftentimes, the more careless we get. And while it's unintentional negligence, it can happen. So mortgage bankers, realtors are dealing with extremely sensitive data. You think about what goes into those transactions. You've got bank statements, pay stubs, W-2s, a loan application, a lot of information that if it gets into the wrong hands, it can really be catastrophic to not only the borrower, but to the company as well when it comes to reputational risk. And then the financial loss of what information is gotten in the systems that they've gotten access to. So, I think phishing is a big one, but another one is wire fraud. That's a big one. That's been a big one for several years. That's why it's become much more of a requirement to verify wire instructions over the phone or in person each and every time, because people don't realize there's two wires in every mortgage transaction. There's a wire from the customer to the title company, but there's also a wire from the title company to the mortgage company. And so if one of those gets crossed into the wrong hands, you could have a broken deal. You could have somebody, you know, losing. Chances are, in these days, their life savings that they're trying to use for a down payment. But us as a mortgage company, we want that money too. We need that money to be able to pay off our warehouse line. So not taking that extra step to verify valid wire instructions each and every time, even if you do business with these title companies each and every time, all it takes is a hacker getting into their email and do what we call like business email compromising, getting a hold of that, switching a number around, doing whatever it might be, you know, in the heat of the moment when you're trying to close 100 deals a day, that could be overlooked pretty easily, but it could be extremely catastrophic.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we hear, you know, the sad stories of that all the time. And especially, I mean, you said it in an environment where, you know, these first time home buyers are literally using all of their cash to get into this home. I mean, that could be awful. So going back to kind of the social engineering and the links, and I mean, my Instagram's been hacked. I'm the dummy that clicked the link that was something stupid. I think people are slowly getting more and more educated on this. And now anytime any link comes from anywhere, everyone's like, nope, I'm not clicking it. But as mortgage companies and as real estate agents, I mean, we do need them sometimes to click the link to apply or to, you know, do certain things. So as lenders, as real estate agents, I mean, is there a way that we can help the client, the home buyers, get comfortable enough to be like, hey, you can click this link, like you can trust us, like, or is it more like a give them a heads up, hey, I'm going to send you a link. This is coming from me. I mean, have we seen
it? I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, at the onset of the relationship, I think it's imperative that realtors, loan officers, they make sure their customers know what's customary. They know what's coming. They encourage them to use, whether it's the point of sale that they're using or encryption or just secure portals. I think setting the stage and really setting them up for what to expect is imperative, because you're right. I mean, to think about like with trigger leads, I mean, just telling them what to expect, telling them that, you know, a lot of folks might call them once we, you know, pull their credit. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that it's with Atlantic Bay or whoever the real estate company or mortgage company they're dealing with is. So making sure that they're aware of, you know, what is safe and to click on. But also having that open lines of communication where they communicate back when something doesn't seem right. Something doesn't feel right. I always encourage it's better to be safe than sorry. I would much rather, you know, back in my originating days, I would have much rather somebody call and say, I'm not sure if this is right, than just assuming that it is. Because they're, you know, we have to remember that these folks are not in our industry. They don't know what's normal and they lean on us. And we really want to become a trusted partner for them, not just for this transaction, but for years on end. We want them to remember, gosh, you know, Hannah or Lindsay, they really took the time to educate me on what to expect, on how this process is going to go, on timely updates and things like that. So I think that really, in an environment right now where it's so much less of, I mean, it's a lot about rate, but these days you can go to basically anybody. So the relationship is so much more important to establish. And if you can set yourself apart by having that knowledge, I think that really is crucial today.
Yeah. Is there anything else that we should know about, like different ways that we can protect not only our clients, but also ourselves in this new world of hackers?
For sure. I mean, you know, these days, mortgage bankers and realtors are always on the go. So they're always soaking up, really probably using somebody else's Wi-Fi. So really being cognizant of the Wi-Fi that you're using, and what systems you're accessing. If you're using public Wi-Fi, it's really not a good idea. And I would strongly suggest you not access any system that has NPI or, you know, data on it. That's the first thing. And if you are having to use a Wi-Fi that's not secure, hop on the VPN, you know, have that type of protection that you have. But make sure your passwords, I know it's a pain to update your passwords, but that's one of the biggest things. Like 30% of all the breaches last year, or really over the past 10 years, have involved stolen credentials. Oh, and wow. It's just something, I know it's a pain. We all hate to do it because they want it to be so long and so many characters, and who remembers that? And then you want to store it somewhere, and then it's not safe to store it somewhere. I get it. But that's one of the things that they get, you know, keystrokes and things like that. But I guess one of the biggest things is being cognizant when you're working remotely and you're feeding on somebody else's Wi-Fi and knowing that your data's out there. Have an extra layer of protection. If you have a hotspot on your phone, that's more secure than public Wi-Fi. And if you have access to a VPN or your company does, hop on the VPN just to add that extra layer of protection.
Well, the positive is that seems somewhat simple, right? Like not using public Wi-Fi, and as annoying as it is, keep all your passwords different and as difficult as you possibly can. I'm terrible at that, by the way.
And a lot of companies these days have like multi-factor authentication, yeah. So that helps. So these days in our industry, it's really hard not to have at least the bare minimum in place because they're required by so many of your the regulators and the investors and things like that. But it still can happen. And mortgage bankers in our area and realtors, they're really the front line of defense. So it's also, you know, crucial for my team to make sure that we are going to continue to educate and make sure that they have the knowledge that they need to be able to then spread that knowledge to their borrowers.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit, like what do we do if we do think that we've been attacked? Or, I mean, like, are there steps that us, and when I say us, I mean, you know, originators, real estate agents, the listeners on this call, what should we do?
I mean, the first thing I would do is just to speak up, whether you tell a manager or depending on, you know, the organization. For us in particular, you would reach out to IT and, you know, the cybersecurity team at Atlantic Bay. Tell them exactly what happened. The sooner the better. And let us take it from there. More than likely, the company has an incident response plan. We do. Most companies do. You follow the plan. If a breach occurs, there's a plan in place behind the scenes. You know, an originator or, you know, employees at the company might not know that exists, but it does. And it's there for a reason. So the first thing you do is you tell somebody, you tell your manager, you tell cybersecurity team, IT team, let them take it from there. And we're going to do what we can on the back end to make sure we do what we can to mitigate it and to fix it.
Okay. I know cybersecurity is a scary topic. It's not exactly a fun topic that any of us like to talk about, but I think it is super important. And I'm really glad that you came on and just kind of educated us a little bit on how to keep ourselves safe, how to keep our buyers safe. And I know we've talked about a lot, but what are, you know, one or two takeaways that you want to be sure that everybody listening to this call, you know, really understood and can, you know, put into action as soon as they push stop on Spotify?
I would say continue to educate yourself. It's something that I've always been a fan of. And, you know, you can learn something new every day, but continue to educate yourself for not only your own protection, your family's protection, but also your clients and your borrower's protection. Like I said earlier, having that little extra piece that sets yourself apart, maybe from the next mortgage banker, will be critical. It might save your borrowers from having their information hacked, or, you know, them from some catastrophic financial situation that they, you know, that really could be detrimental to them. Like we talked about, you know, could be their entire savings. So educate yourself is probably the top thing I would do. But as far as like actual true steps you can do, strengthen your passwords. If you don't have a VPN, if your company doesn't have a VPN, you can go and get one for your cell phone. I know there's several out there that you can put on your phone that you can pay annually, and that will protect yourself. If that's somewhere you do a lot of work on and you don't have access to a VPN, that's something that I would suggest investing in. And then just be cognizant. Watch what you click. Watch the Wi-Fi connections and what vendors you're using while you're on public or, minimally secure Wi-Fi. That's not your home. That's not, where you're used to working every day.
That's awesome. I think that's really, really great advice. And like I said, I really appreciate you coming on, but I can't let you leave without asking our signature question. We ask every guest this. And it's hard to believe that we're already almost through 2024. So how are you going to lend it forward in 2025?
I would say, I think one of my biggest things that I've enjoyed doing and I want to take more time to do is to give back to the industry that's given me so much already. The MBA in my journey to where I am today has been played such a critical role in how I've gotten here. And so whether it's sponsoring CMBs or being more involved in that process, getting folks more involved with the MBA and educating themselves on our industry, that's really what I have a passion for, is giving back to. When I started this, I knew nothing about 95% of this industry. And the MBA is to thank for the majority of what I know and the journey that I've taken. So anything that I can give back to our industry is really what's special to me, whether it's at Atlantic Bay or just anybody within the industry that wants to get involved over there and find out how they can truly help you, continue your up the ladder of your career.
I love that. And I so much appreciate you giving back to all of us around this topic today. So thank you so much again, Lindsay. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.